In advance of Hurricane Florence, airports along the Carolina coasts shut down in anticipation of flooding. A recent federal report lists dozens of major U.S. airports vulnerable to storm surges and flooding from sea level rise. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips reports on how climate change could impact your flight and how Philadelphia's airport is adapting.
Here we go. Let's go in quick. Makes loud noises.
Climbing 120 feet above the runway in the ramp tower of Philadelphia International Airport, it's easy to see how vulnerable it is to sea level rise. Its major runway is about 260 yards from the tidal Delaware River.
Let's go back to some of the earliest maps.
Ray Scheinfeld is in charge of planning for rising sea levels at the airport, and he's showing me what was on the land before the airport was built. He's got quite a map collection.
Okay, this is from 1777. And at that time, you can see some of the drainages that went on out here, a creek called King Sessing Creek. And now we're going to look at 1898. And if you look in general, most of the area has markings on here that show that it is a marshy zone.
Like a lot of airports, Philadelphia's was built on marshy swamp and landfill. Scheinfeld says airports needed large tracts of land convenient to cities, but far from homes and tall buildings. And that was often on the coast. And now, these airports are increasingly threatened. In 2012, Superstorm Sandy spilled more than 100 million gallons of seawater into New York City's LaGuardia Airport, shutting it down for 3 days.
If we got hit by that, there would be an event where we could have flooding of some of our taxiways or runways. We could have problems with some of our infrastructure.
Scheinfeld says if an airport shuts down, that not only leaves passengers stranded, but also prevents delivery of crucial items like medicine or emergency services. And it could cost millions of dollars in revenue for the region. Outside Terminal A East, where airplanes taxi by and baggage handlers toss luggage onto carts, Scheinfeld points to the most critical infrastructure, electric power stations.
How do you keep the lights on? How do you keep things operating?
Things like air conditioning in the terminals and baggage conveyor belts, which are located about 15 feet underground.
So now we're about to enter into the tunnels.
This is where the work begins to get luggage to passengers waiting in baggage claim upstairs. In 2013, a storm flooded this tunnel with 3 feet of water, shutting down the baggage belts and inundating an electric substation, knocking out all the power in Terminal A East. That means no air conditioning, no lights, no security. Scheinfeld explains a new method installed after that storm to keep out the water. Stackable aluminum barriers that seal the doors and protect the power.
And if we know a storm is coming or there's a potential problem, we can insert those in here and protect probably up to about 40 inches above the floor level, keeping water from getting into the substations.
Airports across the country are working to solve the same problems. Boston's Logan Airport has raised its electrical equipment and purchased new flood barriers. San Francisco's airport has runways that jut out into the bay. They've already installed concrete berms and walls and are working with the Army Corps of Engineers to do more. Rob Freudenberg has studied climate impacts on New York area airports for the Regional Plan Association. He says solutions don't come easy or cheap.
If you're talking about airports on the edge of the sea, the most likely thing you would think to do is build a higher wall around that airport. But there's a point at which you can't build a wall so high that an airplane couldn't clear it. So this is a tricky thing with airports.
Freudenberg says the problem will only get worse as the planet continues to warm and seas keep rising. A recent report by the organization predicts that in just 30 years, Teterboro Airport in North Jersey could be underwater. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.